الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم ما من أيام أحب إلى الله أن يتعبد له فيها من عشر ذي الحجة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الحمد لله All praises due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى The Lord of Honor and the Lord of Might who has been extremely kind and merciful to all of us. Allah, out of His compassion, continues to bless us in each and every different way. And out of His great kindness and generosity, Allah continues to give us the opportunity to enrich ourselves with a great amount of blessings and rewards. And this is a very great favor from Allah. For certainly there are two types of Allah's favors. One type of Allah's favor, it is that which is known as zahiran. Favors which are clear. Favors of Allah which are manifest unto us. We can see them. We can touch them. We can feel them. We live with them. We become happy. Zahiran, the favors of Allah that are material and that are physical. That is one type of the favor of Allah. For example, our wealth, our prosperity, our health, good living, family life, things are going good, etc. We enjoy it. This is a favor from Allah which we can see. The other type of Allah's favor is that which is known as the ni'ma batina, the favors which are batin. Batin literally means hidden from your sight. You cannot see them with your eyes, but it is there. It is a favor of Allah. It is not material and it is not physical. It is something that has to do with you as a servant of Allah. Allah's bounties upon you and what you reap from Allah's rewards and His bounty. Blessings and rewards. Gaining the ability to worship Allah and to get Allah's blessings from that worship is a great favor from Allah. Getting five times salat is a very great favor of Allah. Fasting upon the Muslims is a very great favor from Allah. The institution of Hajj is a very great favor from Allah. The Quran is one of the greatest favor of Allah. But it is not wealth. It is not something you will sell and make money from. It is not something that whenever you recite, you will increase in your wealth. It is something when you recite, you will increase in the status in the sight of Allah. Your salat, when you perform it, your status in the sight of Allah and degree will go up. When you say the tasbihat of Allah, your connection with Allah becomes stronger. This is a different type of favor of Allah, which is greater than the first type of the favor, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عَمَلًا. The everlasting good deeds that you will get out of the ibadat of Allah, the everlasting good deeds you will get out of the thawab and the blessings from Allah is far better in the sight of Allah as a reward and for something that you can put your hopes on. If there is anything that you can rely on, if there is anything you can put your trust and confidence in a concrete, firm manner, it is the ibadat and the worship of Allah, which you have done out of the sincerity towards Allah, that which you have done for yourself. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, it is called in the Quran. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use many different statements, all indicating to this fact. In one authentic riwayah, he says, رَكَاتَ الْفَجْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. He says the two rakats of the sunnah of the Fajr Salah is far rewarding and far greater in the sight of Allah than this whole world and whatever it contains. Isliye, the reason is this, that whatever you have of material gains and whatever you have, it might just carry you on the face of the earth until you close your eye. It does not go with you further than that. Whatever you have from the comfort and the pleasures and the luxuries of life that you look at being Allah's favors to you, there is an end for it. It comes to an end. It is either you leave it or it leaves you. It's either that before you die, it goes away from you and it departs from you. Or you die before it comes to an end and you depart from it. But it comes to an end. But the thawab and the blessings you will get for salah, the blessings that you will get from the two rakats of salatul fajr, the sunnah, it will see you in barzakh, it will see you in your grave, it will see you on the day of judgment, it will lend weight to your mizan, the scales of justice, it will be there inscribed in the book of deeds, and it will carry you to jannat. It will not leave you at all. So this is an example of baqiyat as-salihat, those good deeds that are everlasting and that will never come to an end. So there are two types of Allah's feet. One is those material and physical things that we see and we achieve and we get and we become happy about. That is also Allah's favor. But it is only Allah's favors, and that favor will become valuable to us when we use it in the right manner. If we do not use it in the right manner, it becomes a wabal, it becomes a destruction. In fact, it becomes a cause of our destruction in this world and the life hereafter. If we do not use it in the way Allah has asked us to use it. So whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us certain things to do, our entire scope of ibadat and worship, Allah gives us the chance to perform a good deed, He gives us the ability to reap some good rewards. This is a different form of ni'mat of Allah also. This is a form of Allah's ni'mat. And whenever Allah gives us time, the time which we have with us, the time which enables us to make an extra sajda, the time which enables us to make an extra ruku, or say at least one subhanallah, that is also a great favor of Allah, which you and I will only recognize when that point in time comes in our life, when we know the angel of death stands before us, we know the going is fixed, and you and I want 1 second in our life to make amends for whatever we have done. And it is said to us, no, then we will appreciate the value of time. That is the time we will use 1 second to do nothing except do something that will try to make amends for our wrong deeds or raise our status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the ability to continue to enrich ourselves with His blessings and rewards by giving us time, by giving us seasons, by giving us different things which you and I can use and gain maximum rewards. And this time that we are in, this season that we are in, is a very blessed and sacred season. And this is from Allah's favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the course of the year, throughout the course of the days and the night, Allah, out of His mercy and out of His grace, He bestows upon us such times that whenever we are able to do something, the rewards for that same thing increases and multiplies much more than if it is done at other times. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing us with a month like Ramadan is not about what we have done to achieve it. It is simply because of how Allah wants to be kind to us. Allah wanting to multiply the reward of one farz act to 70 times, it's not on an account of our goodness and on account of our piety and righteousness. It is solely on account of Allah's grace, great mercy, which He extends to you and I as believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening all the gates of Jannah in Ramadan, closing all the doors of Jahannam, tying up all the shayateen, wa maradatul jann, and the rebellious shaitan, is out of Allah's kindness to us and not because of what we have done to gain it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and we are able to do things in Ramadan which we normally do not do in the rest of the year. And then Ramadan comes to an end, and then Shawwal enters, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us the riwayat which is reported and narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih compilation, that whosoever after the fast of Ramadan fast for 6 days in Shawwal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his past sins for him. Subhanallah, that's a great thing. Whosoever couldn't make up and whosoever faltered in Ramadan, at least you have another season to do something. And then Shawwal comes to an end, and when Shawwal comes to an end, there comes the month which we are in right now, a holy season, a sacred season which Allah Himself has sanctified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created time. Allah is the owner of time. Allah controls time. And Allah alone is the one who has the full authority of putting more blessings on a certain day, putting less blessings on a certain day, putting more virtues in a certain month, putting less in a certain month. Allah and Allah alone has the sole authority to do that. Whatever might become blessed is what Allah has placed blessedness in it and blessings in it. Whatever Allah has made to be sacred, it continues to be sacred and no one will change it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about that sacred season that we are in one beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines to us about time and this season which we are in. Normally, sometimes people do not pay attention to certain things because of their lack of knowledge of it. So you and I do know that there are many people that when the blessed month of Ramadan comes, it is as just as the other months. Eating goes on as usual during the course of the day. Bad habits and actions continue to go during the course of the nights, and it goes on like that. Those people you will see making an extra effort to better themselves and to ensure that they try to protect their 5 times salat as well as their tarawih salat, and others are those people who recognize what Ramadan is about. So you and I, if we do not appreciate, and in general there are people who do not know the value of time, and it's only the time when the time reaches to lose time, they realize what is the value of time. But that time
they realize the value of time is a time when they have no time again. Subhanallah. It so happens, it's regretful. That people who normally waste time understands the true of value of time when they have no time again. And very often you see people trying to make the best out of their time when they know what is the value of time. Time is our life. When time goes, our life goes. This is why the famous poet mentions a very beautiful statement when he says, يَسُرُّ الْمَرُءُ بِمَا ذَهَبَ لَيَالِي وَكَانَ ذِهَابُهُنَّ لَهُ ذِهَابًا. Mankind becomes very happy with the passage of time. Time is going. This season is coming and that season is going. We are 30 years today and we are 31 tomorrow, and everyone looks forward for a birthday. 40 years and 50 years and 60 years. He says, but little do man realize that with the passage of time is the passing of his life. He doesn't recognize that. If Allah has mentioned that you have 55 years, it means when you have lived 50, only 5 years again you have, and you don't know it. And then 4 years completes and we celebrate our 54th birthday, and 1 year and the man doesn't know it. And 12 months again remains in the man's life and he doesn't know it. 11 months come to an end. 29 days come to an end. And there is 1 day again for his 55th birthday. And there is a lot of celebration. And people are rejoicing. And when the clock strikes that last minute to complete 55, that's the time the angel of death takes him and he goes. And everyone cries and weeps and says, but we are having a big thing for the man and a big shukrana. And look how many people we have invited. No one knew that he has only been given 55 years. So the poet is saying, وَكَانَ ذِهَابُهُنَّ لَهُ ذِهَابًا. With the passing of his time, little does he realize that his life is actually passing and coming to an end. So only those who recognize the value of time can really appreciate it and use it wisely. So Allah says to us in the Holy Quran, He says, إِنَّ عِنَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنَّ اللَّهِ اثْنَا عَشَرَ شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Certainly, the amount of months in the sight of Allah, they are 12. The amount of months in the sight of Allah, they are 12. 12 months. Since when? Since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since Ibrahim alayhi salam, since Adam alayhi salam, no. Since when? They had always been 12 months. يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The day that Allah created the heavens and the earth, He had assigned 12 months. 12 months we have in the English calendar is not the 12 months we are speaking about. There was never 12 months in the English calendar. And for those of us who know about the history of the English calendar, which started after the crucifixion, so-called crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam, as it is said, had only 10 months. Had only 10 months. And 2 months were added on by the Roman emperor and by his brother. So July is the month which was named after Julius Caesar. And August was the extra month which was named after Augustus Caesar, the brother. So the 12 months we have in the English calendar, it is a man-made 12 months. The first month of the year, January, coming from the sun god Janus. Many months of the English calendar are all derived from the different names of the sun god and the moon god and the god of this and the god of that, which will come to another time when we are ready to discuss the new year, Muharram. But what I am pointing at is the 12 months that we know from Muharram to Zulhijjah is what Allah made since He created the heavens and the earth. It was not man-made. It was not even made by an angel or a Nabi. Allah created that. 12 months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. From among the 12 months, there are 4 months which Allah has made sacred. Allah Himself has made sacred. Allah Himself has sanctified. Allah Himself has made holy. Allah says this concept of 12 months and then 4 months being sacred. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the true religion. There is no other truth besides this. This is the truth. This is what Allah wants for you. This is what ought to happen, because everything besides this is false. This is haq. This is the truth. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the straight path. So therefore Allah gives us an advice. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So therefore, since 4 months are sacred, you are to uphold the sanctity of those months. You are to uphold the holiness of these months. You are to recognize how sacred they are in the sight of Allah. Therefore, do not transgress your souls in the matters of these months. Subhanallah. These months were so sacred that even before Islam came with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mushrikeen, the pagan Arabs and the people at that time upheld and continued to respect the sanctity of the months. All the wrong things and unlawful things they used to do, which in their sight were unlawful, they will stop it. They will put an abrupt stop to it. This is why Allah is saying, if they were mushrikeen, they were pagans, they were unbelievers, and they respected the sanctity of the months, you as believers are supposed to do much more than that. This is why he says, do not transgress your souls with wrongdoing in these months. They are sacred. Allah has made it sacred. So the same attitude you develop in the month of Ramadan, that you cannot do this because it is Ramadan, and you cannot do that because of it is Ramadan, and you cannot go here because of Ramadan, it is the same conduct and the same attitude which is required in the season of these sacred months, 4 sacred months. Alhamdulillah, from among the 4 sacred months, we happen to be in a special blessed season. The season is not only about a sacred month, but it's such a high season, such a great season, that we have 3 of these respected and honored months coming one after the other. Subhanallah. Not only one after the other after the other. For we are in this month called Zulqa'dah. And this is the month which has been mentioned as the 4 sacred months. Then after this month comes to an end, we are in the month of Zulhijjah. That's the 2nd sacred month. Then after Zulhijjah, it does not come to an end. Muharram begins. That's the 3rd sacred month. Subhanallah. What a beautiful season. One after the other, and then the after. And the other sacred month is the 7th month of the Islamic calendar, which is known as Rajab. So we have Zulqa'dah now. Next month will be Zulhijjah. And the other one will be Muharram. We are to pay particular attention to this sacred season. Allah is the owner of time. Allah gives us this time so that when we do good deeds, we will get more rewards in the sight of Allah. That is a favor from Allah. That is the favor from Allah, which is known as the batin favor, which are not seen with materialistic or physical value in our eyes. But the favor of the greatness of this time will be seen on the day of judgment. For when we do a good action on a Friday, it is worth more in the sight of Allah than any other day of the week. And when we do an action in a sacred and holy season, it is worth more in the sight of Allah than any other time. But the realization of this and the recognition of these things, we will see at a time when we are standing in front of the mizan, and we are told that your good deeds supposed to weigh more than your bad deeds so that you may enter Jannah. And we are hoping and we are wishing that the side of the scale on which our good deeds are placed will be so heavy that it will outweigh the other side of the scale. But that will be suspended, and it will be dependent on our actions on the face of the earth, not after we die. The things that are spoken about, normally, sad to say, it is only realized when we close our eyes and we really can't do anything to benefit ourselves. Whatever other people may do It is up to Allah to accept those things or not. Whatever we have done, this is why the Quran says, وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. There is nothing for a man except that which he has worked for. Subhanallah. What you have done, you will get it. What others have done, that is not guaranteed. It is up to Allah to accept it or not. But what you have done, you will see the value of it. Allah will give you in return. Whatever others may do in your lifetime or after your lifetime, that is for Allah to decide. So the giving of these special times, such a holy season, such a blessed season, is indeed a favor of Allah and from Allah, which you and I should appreciate that this is a holy season. Let us try our best to do as much good. Let us try our best not to transgress our souls, as Allah says, do not wrong yourselves in this season. Fihinna. This season Allah has given, it is so blessed. Subhanallah, when you and I look at it, when you and I look around us, when you and I listen to the statements of people, and we look at what is going on, subhanallah, it is a very high season for the Muslims. It is a season of the revival of the traditions of the friend of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is a season when millions of people are making sacrifices in every different form and way. It is the season where people are leaving everything they possess. People are leaving every nook and corner of the globe. Rich and the poor, the healthy and the sick, the old and the young, the male and the female, each and everyone, they are leaving every single thing they possess, forgetting it for a little while, to present themselves in the court of Allah, in the palace of Allah's house, the greatest of all house, all walking towards one place with a common tone of voice, singing out, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, O Allah, I am coming from a far place, but I am present here, O Allah. I have presented myself in front of you, O Allah. Whatever it might be, whatever their situation might be, they are all sacrificing to reach towards that place. Some are selling their cars, some are selling their land, some are selling their houses, some are saving for 50 years, for 60 years, just with that zeal, with that deep love to see the Baytullah al-Haram, the house of Allah. With that deep love to see the Rawza, the graveyard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To step their feet in the blessed Masjid of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To see what is the Kaaba. For years they have been performing salah towards it, but it's a different thing to see it and witness it with the eye. It is this tradition which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to revive, that He has instituted this in Islam, commanding it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that of all the nations to come after Ibrahim, whether they are the Jewish nation or whether they are the Christian nation, of all the nations, the best of all nation will be chosen to revive the dead tradition of the friend of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and to revive it in a manner with no modernism, to revive it in a manner with no compromising, to revive it in a manner with no cutting here and there, reviving it in a manner with the same spirit of sacrifice, with the same hardship, with the same difficulty, with the same sincerity, with the same intention, with the same words that were uttered by Ibrahim alayhi salam, to revive that tradition of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whether you are a millionaire or not, you must still walk around the Kaaba. Whether you are a millionaire or not, you must spend the night at Muzdalifah. Whether you are a millionaire or not, you must go at Arafah. You must do it. You must throw the pebbles. Subhanallah. There is no reason in this day and age to run between Safa and Marwa. Running between Safa and Marwa was done by Hazrat Hajra alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam had left his family, which was a great trial to Ibrahim alayhi salam, his small child, at the age of 86 years, Ibrahim alayhi salam now has a child, which he was praying to Allah for. Rabbi habli min ladunka salihin. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah, give me a righteous and pious child. Ibrahim alayhi salam gets the child. Ibrahim alayhi salam is ordered by Allah take this child and the mother and put them there, walking, going, being guided by Jibreel alayhi salam, goes to a place which is deserted, which is uncivilized, where there is no shadow of life, where there is no water, where there are no trees, where there are no birds, where there is no greenery. And Jibreel says, Allah commands you to put them right here and you leave them and go away. Ibrahim alayhi salam puts the child here, leaves the mother. Ibrahim alayhi salam walks away. The mother is crying, and the mother wants to know, why is Ibrahim doing this to them? So she asks the question, and again and again, why is it you are leaving us like this? Ibrahim alayhi salam does not utter a word. Then she says, is it the command of Allah, your Lord? He shook his head, saying yes. She said, إِذَنْ لَا يُضِعُنَا. If Allah has commanded you to leave us here, then Allah will not waste us away. Allah will take care of us, the iman of the mother of Ismail. If Ibrahim was the Khalil of Allah, his wife was no less than a pious and righteous woman who understood the decree of Allah. And she sufficed with that. And whatever small they had, a small amount of water with a few dates, it became exhausted. And the mother is worried about her child. And the mother is running to the hilltops to look to see if there is any caravan passing by. And she runs to the hilltop of Marwa and Safa. When she comes down once, she looks to see if the son is okay. If everything, the child is still alive, and she goes up to the other mountain. And she goes from one place to the other place, running between Safa and Marwa, running between the Safa and Marwa. And then eventually, after running for 7 times, the child begins to cry, and the child starts to rub the heel on the ground, and from there the well of Zamzam comes out, subhanallah, which continues until today. The well of Zamzam. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not run on Safa and Marwa. Who ran on Safa and Marwa was the wife, Hajra. But that action of sacrifice and dedication was so beloved to Allah that Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Certainly the mountains of Safa and Marwa are the symbols and landmarks of Allah. You as a pilgrim, you must go there. Do not worry whether Ibrahim did it or not. Hazrat Hajra did it, and you must do it also. You don't do it, your Hajj is not complete. Subhanallah. And one after the other, Ibrahim alayhi salam may have visited Mina to sacrifice his son. People are not going to sacrifice their sons today. Ibrahim alayhi salam pelted the shaitan with pebbles and jamarat. People are not going to pelt shaitan. They are going to pelt a pebble. They are going to pelt the pillars that are named there. People are going not for the reason that Ibrahim went. It started from Ibrahim. But they must do it, because Allah has commanded us to do it, so that we will relive and revive the tradition of the beloved friend of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whether there is a reason or not, it has been instituted from one to the other. This is what is taking place in this great season. Along with that, subhanallah, that is one form of sacrifice. But we cannot forget, and Allah will not allow human beings to forget, the greatest of all sacrifice which was given by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it is the honor of this ummah to be chosen to uphold the traditions of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is an honor given to this ummah from among all the nations, all the prophets coming after Ibrahim alayhi salam. But one ummah was given that honor by Allah to revive all these things which his beloved friend Ibrahim alayhi salam used to do. That is the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Ibrahim alayhi salam, after so many years praying for this son, what was the worry? The worry was that after I go back to Allah, who will continue the work which Allah has commissioned me to do? It is because of this, Anbiyas will normally pray for progeny. So that will continue on the face of the earth, the da'wat ila Allah, the invitation towards Allah, the revival of the true deen of Allah will never stop. So they will always continue. And whenever they prayed to Allah and supplicated to have righteous progeny, which is a very, very important point we need to note. Not just progeny, not just children, because children can become a burden, children can become a worry, Children can become a disaster. Children can become live in hell for the parents. It can happen. So the teachings of the Anbiya, that when you pray for progeny, pray for righteous progeny, salihin, that Allah may give you and give you someone righteous who will be obedient, who will be soft-hearted, who will be lenient, who will be kind, who will do khidmat for the parents. Not those who will be harsh, who will taunt the parents, who will whip the parents, who will beat the parents and treat the parents as strangers. No. This is why in Surah Al-Kahf, the incident is mentioned when this child was born to righteous parents, and this child was born to believing parents, and Allah knew of the future of the child, that the future of the child is that this child will bring disgrace to the parents. This child will be hardship to the parents. This child will be a worry to the parents. And this child will take kufr. Allah sent Khidr alayhi salam to take the life of that child. And Khidr alayhi salam killed the child, so that it will not become a burden upon the parents, and he will not hurt the feelings of the parents. This is why Allah took the child and replaced it with another child who was righteous and pious. So that is a beautiful lesson. Ibrahim alayhi salam has this child which is known as Ismail alayhi salam. The child starts to grow with the father. Ibrahim went back to live in Philistine, but continued to go to Hijaz and come back, visit the family, visit Hajra his wife, visit the child. And then the child became very close to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So much so that Ibrahim became very fond of his child. One child, subhanallah, at that time, Ishaq was not yet born to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam had to go through many trials. What has gone already, but this is a new trial. Ibrahim alayhi salam had a dream. Ibrahim alayhi salam goes in front of his child. And he says, Ya Bunayya. He says, My son, Inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka. I see in a vision, in a dream, that I am slaughtering you. This is the dream. Ibrahim alayhi salam understands very well. This is the command of Allah. Because the dreams of the Anbiya's, it is a form of wahi and revelation. And Allah is revealing this to him, that this son that you love so much, you will have to prove to Allah who is more dearer to you. Is Allah more dearer to you, or your son that you had prayed for and you are so fond of? You will have to prove that. And if we look at the Quran, we will see that Allah will normally test the Anbiya's in this manner. When Yaqub alayhi salam became very fond of Yusuf alayhi salam, subhanallah, what a beautiful story. He was so fond of his son Yusuf that he could not bear to miss Yusuf for a minute. He will become sick. Every side he turned, he wanted to see Yusuf. Allah says, I have to test you to see who is more dearer to you, Allah or this son of yours, Yusuf. And Allah took away his son Yusuf alayhi salam for such a long time that weeping, he became blind. Subhanallah. Yaqub became blind. He couldn't take it anymore. And he will always say, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf, Oh, mine Yusuf, where is mine Yusuf? He became blind. It's a test. So the son became beloved to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But it is not befitting of a Nabi or a Khalil, someone who has been lifted to the status of friendship with Allah, that anyone can become between him and Allah. No children, no wealth, no love for anything. Nothing between you and Allah. That's a sign of a true believer. Nothing between you and Allah. Allah is the most beloved. Allah is the most dearest to you. Nothing between you and Allah. And Allah realized this has happened. He said, Ibrahim, you will have to sacrifice this son. Let me see what you're going to do now. Ibrahim alayhi salam comes to his son. He says, My son, this is what I see in a dream. Fanzur ma zatara. What do you think about this? If Ibrahim was a Nabi, his son was no less than a Nabi. Allah knew that he will become a Nabi. So from very early childhood, the statements of Ismail alayhi salam was conforming to Nabuwat and prophethood also. Ibrahim is a young boy. He had sense. If your father says, I'm going to kill you, what the child is going to do? Run. The child is going to tell everybody, my father says he will kill me. The child says, Ya Abati, oh my father, if I'll ma tu'mar, you do what you are commanded to do. Subhanallah. You do, if Allah has commanded you to sacrifice me and kill me, then do it, oh my father. Do it. As for me, probably you are worried about me. I will cry, I will scream, I wouldn't want to go for this sacrifice. I will be protecting my life. He says, no, don't worry about that. Satajiduni insha'Allahu min as-sabirin. You shall find me patient in the sight of Allah. I will be patient. I will be forbearing. I am ready for that sacrifice. Ibrahim was willing. The son was willing. Falamma aslama. When both of them submitted to the will of Allah, watallahu liljabin, and so that Ibrahim may not be touched by looking at the face of his son, which will prevent him from doing what Allah has ordered him, he turned the face of the son downwards. Tallahu liljabin. Tallahu liljabin. Because as a father, you have one son whom you love so much, and you are going to kill your son, and you are looking at this innocent face watching at you, subhanallah. You are looking at his face. He was scared that he may be overcome with emotions that may prevent him. He turned the face down. He banned his eyes, according to some riwayat. And he started to rub the knife, subhanallah, according to many riwayats mentioned in Ruhul Bayan by Tafsir ibn Kathir also. And according to the riwayat which is mentioned in Ruhul Bayan, Ismail alayhi salam was so submissive. He says, oh my father, why are you not slaughtering me for Allah? What is wrong with you? Are you frightened? Are you scared? Have you any fear in you that there is no cloth to bury me? Then take out mine kurta so that you may bury me in this cloth. Ibrahim alayhi salam was about to take out the kurta and then start over the sacrifice, where the words of Allah came to him. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And we called out to Ibrahim. We called out to Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّعْيَا. O Ibrahim, you have really, truly fulfilled the vision which you have seen. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is the way we deal with those people who are kind. So therefore, the qurbani that we do, and the qurbani that, which, the qurbani, which is normally being done, the sacrifice of animals, which is going to be done throughout the whole world, it is all because of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the reason I have mentioned this is that you and I should remember that when we are doing certain actions, we should never ever forget the significance of that action, else the action will lose its true value and taste. If we do things because it has become formal, if we do things because it has become commercialized, if we do things because it is a matter of money, then we are going to lose the true taste of the spirit of qurbani and sacrifice, which started from the greatest sacrifice on the face of the earth, which was given by Ibrahim alayhi salam to Allah. If we develop the attitude that the qurbani is only about money and animals, that give here and do it for me and forget about the hustle, then what is the spirit of qurbani? Why did Allah institute qurbani? Where did it come from? The Sahaba says, Ma hadhihi al-adhahi ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, what is this qurbani about? What is this sacrifice about? The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sunnata abikum Ibrahim, it is the sunnah of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. The father of the Arab nation is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then he says, they said, then if it was the sunnah of our father, then what is there for us? وَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا. What are we going to get from it? He says, for every hair on the animal's body, you will get a good deed. Subhanallah. Thousands of hairs, you will get thousands of good deeds. Subhanallah. So at no time, we also, whenever we perform Hajj, we should not use Hajj as something which is a matter of going there, showing our face and coming back. We should go with the same spirit of sacrifice. We should go there with the significance of what this place means to us. What is this Kaaba about? Why did Allah place a Kaaba on the face of the earth? Who built this Kaaba? Where, what is this Maqam-e Ibrahim about? When you look at the place of Ibrahim, the footprint of Abraham, to recall the historical facts that surround this noble and respected, the greatest of all land on the face of the earth. Standing before the rows of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to imagine what was the life of the Rasul like. If you were alive at the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how fortunate you would have been. Which streets the Rasul of Allah would have been through. What were the actions of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The significance came to the Sahabas. The significance came to the Tabi'in. This is why all the actions were done in such a manner, understanding the true value of all these actions. And like this, it is effected, and it is effected in all the things we do. If we fast because it is a matter of becoming healthy, it is a matter of losing weight, it is a matter of, well, Allah says to fast, we will fast. Without understanding the true spirit and significance of fast, we will lose the value. Fasting will have no effect in our lives. If you and I are told to read the Quran every day, and we read it, well, you know, they said we're going to get blessings, and the Maulana Sahib says, make it a habit to read a page every day. We will lose the taste. We will have nothing from the Quran, and we will get nothing. But if we read it, that it is the kalam of Allah, it is the greatest words of Allah, it is filled with benefits. Allah is speaking to us when we recite the Quran, trying to figure out what Allah wants from us, trying to get closer to Allah, then it will become meaningful. So the season of Qurbani is coming. The season of Hajj is coming. Millions of people are there already. But the question is, these things are done every year. Are we learning something from it? Does it have any significance to us? Does it have any value to us? Does it happen then when we go to Hajj and we come back? Our entire spiritual being and also our self has changed. Are we better believers? Are we trying to make amends for the wrong things we have done before? Believe more than ever that there is a day I will have to meet you, just as I have presented myself in your court with two garbs, with two white pieces of cloth. I know more than ever that I will certainly go back to you, and I will be saying to you, oh Allah, I am present. Oh Allah, I will try to better myself. The connection of Qurbani to Allah is a very deep connection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever it is done, Allah looks to our hearts to see what we have. This is why He says in the Quran, and the Quran says, لَيَّنَا لَلَّهَا لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. It is not the flesh, and it is not the blood that reaches to Allah, showing to you and I, Allah has no need for this. Allah wants to see how much taqwa and piety you have in your heart. So you and I have to understand that, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters. The things that are done on an annual basis and continuous basis, are we really getting the true value and significance? Are we learning something from it? Whatever the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has placed across to the Sahabas so that you and I will get it, are we getting it? Is it something spatial? That there is just an external and the internal is just there? Does it have any effect to us? Or is it just something that we go through every day? We have to learn, and we have to look at the spirit with which these things were done. And the spirit with which it was done and these things were done are very, very deep. This is why it became very, very beloved to Allah. That you are going for Hajj. You have no need to go on the Mount of Safa. But you know what? Hajra did it. And Allah loves that act very much. You also do it. You go there also. You climb the Mount Safa. Then there is a place that you have to run. That's the place you run. There is no reason to run. Why are you running? It's a condition. Subhanallah. Tile the floor. Why should you run? Because Hajra ran, and her action was most beloved to Allah. When you do it, it revives that tradition of sacrifice that was once done on the face of the earth. But if we lose the spirit of sacrifice, what's the value of the actions? Then it will become a shell without a soul. This is why Allah says to us in the Quran, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. In every single thing you do, The soul of that is the remembrance of Allah. So this is a special season, a season that brings a lot of goodness for us. Dhul-Qadah will very soon come to an end. And as soon as Dhul-Qadah ends, Dhul-Hijjah will begin. Dhul-Hijjah will begin, inshaAllah, openly from next week, Wednesday. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it abundantly clear to us. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُتَعَبَّدَ لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ أَشْرِ ذِلْحِجَّةِ. There are no other days which are most beloved to Allah to do His ibadat and worship than the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah will begin from the first day, which might be what? Wednesday. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, hadith reported by Imam Tirmizi and Imam Ibn Majah, there are no days, ma min ayamin, ahabbu ila Allah, which are the most beloved to Allah, that you may worship Allah min ashri Dhul-Hijjah, than the 10 beginning days of Dhul-Hijjah, which you and I will meet inshaAllah. What is the virtue? He goes on to tell us a little gist of the virtue. He says, يَعْدِلُوا صِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِنْهَا بِصِيَامِ سَنَةٍ. Fasting one day of the 10 beginning days of Dhul-Hijjah equals to the fasting of 1 year in rewards. Subhanallah. وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْهَا. And standing in ibadah during the period of the night, any one night, in the beginning 10 nights, in the sight of Allah, in the beginning 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, it equals to biqiyami laylatul qadri, like if you are standing on the night of power, laylatul qadr. What do we want better than this, my dear respected brothers and sisters? Allah has given us a season. When you and I here sail, we rush the place because we can get more for our money. Allah says, in this season, you can get more for the small amount of ibadat you can do. Don't you want it? Subhanallah. A sacred season. A blessed season, a season which Allah has sanctified. Let us not be neglectful of our duties. Allah has been so kind to tell us directly in the Quran, in these months of the sacred season, do not wrong yourselves. No one will suffer except you, your own self. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability, the tawfiq, to recognize what this time has in it. For as I said in the beginning, it's only when we recognize the value of time, only then we can appreciate and use it wisely. Let it not happen that we will only recognize it when we are losing it and we have it no more. Let us become intelligent people. Recognize it before we lose it. Recognize it when we still have time, still life we have in this world. Inshallah, it will be to our benefit. Make dua. Try our best to do some good deeds. In this blessed season, we ask Allah to accept our good, forgive us for our faults. والآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
الحمد لله العليم الخبير المطن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير. فسبحان الله حكمته بالغة وعلمه غدير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله، في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم، ذلك الدين القيم، فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم: ما من أيام أحب إلى الله أن يتعبد له فيها من عشر ذي الحجة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعنا بآياته وذكر الحكيم. نستغفر الله، نستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إن الله سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاتمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وهمزة وأسد الله وأسد رسولي رضي الله تعالى عنهم. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباتنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم من بعد غرضا فمن أحبهم فبحبه أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغض أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم والله أعلى وأولى وأجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر واقم الصلاة. Thank you.